Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. It's not morning anymore. It's almost morning, but well, the morning's almost over. It's not almost morning. It's been morning for several hours now. And I am at home and Matt is on the road. And so we'll see if we are super amazing at the technology part of our lives, which of course we've proved ourselves over and over again to be super amazing at technology.
Right. So we're zooming this thing, but you can't see either of us because Anne has her camera off and my camera's pointed to the floorboard, so you can't see me. So, and we've generally decided that video is not our thing.
Yeah, one of our children a while ago found an old video of us and told me about it, and I regretted having done the video option just that one time.
What did she
So
say?
I can't remember because I immediately blocked it out of my head, but I had this sort of, sense of sadness in the back of my head. So it was amazing. So, we missed last week because we went to the glorious land of Texas, and
We miss the week before that too?
I think we might have. I think we just like had an accidental blog hiatus.
You have something's dinging on your phone. What is that? It's a ding dong that happens every once in a while. You know what that is?
I haven't heard it.
Well,
Is
I've
it the
heard it.
dog barking?
No, it's actually, it's like a bell.
Bell.
There, once again. Do you hear it?
No.
Oh, you know what that is? It's not you, it's me. It's my
Your email?
No, it's my GPS. Whenever I take a turn,
It tells you.
yeah, right. So I'll be in the straightaway pretty soon, though, so it'll be gone.
Well, that sounds great. Sounds perfect to have a dinging. Can you hear the dogs? As usual,
Nope.
our quality of technology is amazing. And I think drawing attention to it every time is really important. So no one forgets that we have bad technological
Right.
habits.
And if someone really is bothers someone, they can buy us stuff, make it better. You're all welcome to buy us expensive audio equipment.
Which we don't know how to use, so I don't think that's a good idea. So, we've had a couple of weeks off accidentally, as usual, and I can't think of anything that happened in those weeks to draw attention to other than Andy Stanley and the Pope
I mean, those are pretty big
deciding to
things. I
join.
mean, that.
Yeah, join with the
I mean,
Archbishop of Canterbury.
that's not small.
I know, but it's already forgotten. Like, that was so last week. For
I
me,
think
anyway.
that isn't the Synod on Synodality going on still?
I don't know. I don't know about things like that.
Oh.
What is the
Well, I
Synod
think
on Synodality? Is that a special name for?
it's not the Synod on Synodality. It's the Synod on Synology. Where I'm going to mispronounce it now that I've made fun of the name. I think that the way Anglicans can understand it is to think about Indaba, right? We're getting together to discuss our differences or our thoughts about the way synods should work, way meetings should work, way conversations should work. And it sounds like, though, it's a big struggle session, and maybe I'm reducing it too simplistically, but we're going to keep talking, and we're going to keep having a holy conversation until you shut up, basically, kind of the thing. I mean, it's really strong. I get the sense that, remember, the German bishops earlier in the year, I went ahead and okayed same-sex blessings in their diocese. and everyone was kind of waiting to see what the Pope would do. And so several cardinals wrote him questions that he was supposed to answer, dubia, I think they're called, and asking, well, is this going to be bid? Is this something that's going to happen? Are we going to do same-sex blessings? And the Pope said, well, the church as a church can never bless anything that God has considered sinful. So we can't bless the relationships as a church, but individual pastors can, they can bless people or groups of people or pairs of people themselves. So it's almost exactly like the compromise that the Archbishop of Canterbury tried to draw between blessing the relationships, or the Church of England, blessing the relationships versus blessing the people in the relationships. And I think you used the right word for that. It's Jesuitical. I'm not pronouncing that right either. Jesuitical. How do you say that?
Jesuitical, I thought.
That's right. That's right. Yes, I think you're right. That's what that is, though. It's doing the same thing you wanted to do, but just calling it something else, and thinking that God's too stupid to notice.
Well, I feel like Anglicans have always had a corner on that sort of thing. Like,
Right, but
God
Francis is,
is
yeah.
easily confused, and by what we do, he wants us to
Can't
be
figure it out.
good. And but when we decide not to be good, he will basically be fine with it because he doesn't really care about his own moral world that much.
He won't be fine about it unless we figure out a way to conceal what's happening. Like if you say, oh, hey, Lord, we're not really blessing these two gay men in this relationship. We're raising a baby, who they farmed out to some from some woman, or who they farmed from some woman. This is, we're just blessing the two men individually, and then God just totally doesn't understand. So he's baffled and confused, and he won't get it. So it's not that he's okay with evil. It's just like you say, he's easily confused.
Which I like, it feels to me very, very much like, well, my women's Bible study is finally almost to the end of Hosea, and God keeps remind or Hosea and God together keep reminding the people that they behave so badly in the wilderness. And the thing that they did that was so fun, it's like preeminent gaslighting, is to not just make the golden calf, but then to say, actually, this golden calf is actually Yahweh, which I feel like is pretty epic gaslighting. When you say to somebody, I know you said this is who you are, but actually you're the opposite of, I hear what you're saying, but actually it's the opposite of that. It's opposite day. And I'm gonna call this thing by your name. That's what this
Right. Well,
feels
that's
like
right.
to me.
Yeah, you don't. We've said this before, but it's kind of like in a relationship with somebody. If you want that person to be different than that person is, and you try to remake that person in the image that you have for that person, you're not really in a relationship with that person anymore. You're in a relationship with yourself.
With somebody
You're
else, yeah, or yourself.
or with somebody else, right? Yeah, but mostly yourself. So like you don't have a sweet tooth, and so if you're for your birthday coming along, if I just made you like a nice cinnamon roll with lots of sugar in it, and said, oh, but you've always liked sweet rolls. This is your favorite. You love this.
Yeah.
This is your favorite thing. And you said, no, I've never said. You said it all the time. You said it yesterday. I mean, that's how idolatry works. And that's how God apparently can be fooled. But then when you read the Bible, it seems like he's not so
I know.
foolhardy,
He's
actually.
not actually that surprised.
Right.
Well, it's really, I mean, it's always under the guise of compassion, right? So you have immense compassion
Yes.
for those who are in who suffer from an attraction to somebody that the church can't bless that attraction. And so you've got to have something special so that the person who feels that attraction doesn't have to feel bad, feel out of, not in the in line with the church or with God. So it comes from like a stated idea of compassion, but again, like the compassion itself is also gaslighting because it's not real. It's like only it only makes the person who's compromising feel better. Ultimately, it doesn't make
Right.
anybody else in the church or the person who's suffering from the attraction feel better. It's just, it's like deeply selfish always, I feel like, when this happens,
Right.
in
Well, I mean,
any
this is kind of,
ecclesiastical
didn't Andy
context.
Stanley basically say, I mean, basically, Andy Stanley and the Pope are essentially saying things like, something like, well, there's this true thing over here that God has said that we definitely, of course, uphold is true because God said it. It's true, totally true. We totally believe it. But it's so mean.
Yeah.
I mean, God is such a mean person for making this true statement. And so we're going to uphold the truth, but we're not going to be as mean as God is and tell people about it. We're going to, or tell them they've got to live in accordance with this truth. We're going to just say this is true, but man, God wants you to do something that's so hard and so mean and so cruel and so harmful to your identity that we're just going to say, go ahead and do it and don't worry about it. That's Andy Stanley's position, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean it, and I don't know, I don't understand. Here's the part where like it breaks down for me. I don't understand why somebody who is same-sex attracted would want to be in with a God who is so mean. Like that seems like poor advertising for
Yeah,
Christianity.
why
I
would
mean,
you,
I
why
since
would you?
he's trying to advertise Christianity to people who feel injured by Christianity. But his advertisement is like, I'm not sure what word I'm looking for, but like not that great of an advertisement. If I was suffering from some kind of sinful predilection that Andy Stanley wanted to bless, and the way that he blessed it was by telling me that God is so mean. And his church is so wicked and so bad and has always been wicked and bad. I think I would, go find some other God. Like,
Yeah, it's I mean, effectively, this position is, yes, marriage between a husband and a wife only, and all sexual activity should be there within that heterosexual marriage. But you can't do that. If you have desires contrary to that, you are completely unable to do that. And so, whereas the church in the past has not been nice to you and let you just go ahead and break that law without any consequences, we're going to be nice to you and let you break that law without any consequences. And so you have this position where the church suddenly tells Christians they don't have to obey God's word. It's weird. It's like it'd be like maybe in marriage terms again. Like if a wife tells the children in a house, don't listen to what your dad says. Consistently, your dad, his rules here are just mean and unnecessary, and you just can't do it. So I don't care if you do it. I mean, that's basically when that happens, you don't have a marriage going on. You have two enemies living in the same household.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then I think the kid, like kids at that point are like, oh, I see how this works. This isn't great. My father's not good. I don't want to be with him,
Right.
But after a while, when you really trash somebody, like if people are sensible, they wake up and wonder, like, why are you trashing a person? Maybe there's something
Yeah.
wrong with you. If you go to, if you find people who seriously go, like serially date or serially marry or serially go to churches, and they walk into a new church and trash the old church. It works, the first few times, but after a while, people when that happens, think, huh, maybe it's you.
Maybe this is a you problem.
Maybe this is a you problem. Maybe your church was fine. Maybe you're not that, maybe you don't resolve your relationships. Maybe you're a bad person.
Yeah.
And
I
that's
just
what
can't
this
find
feels like. Like, why would you trash every other Christian thing? It doesn't actually make Andy Stanley look good to do that. It doesn't, like, his compassion is thin and small, ultimately. It did, like, again, if I was somebody who found myself in this position, I would look at it and think, man, I'd rather find some other religion to belong to, if that's how, or
Right.
some other church. If he's going to trash the rest of Christendom
Right.
and all other Christians and God and the book that God gave, maybe he's the baddie. Maybe I should go somewhere else and not do that,
Right.
not be involved with this.
Oh, same thing with,
So.
I mean, I guess in the evangelical world, Andy Stanley is a kind of a real influential person. But it's nothing like the influence of the Pope, right? I mean, the Pope, that's like,
Yeah.
for the Pope to say that, or the Pope to be soft on this question, and to signal a possibility for individual priests and individual pastoral circumstances to a blessed same-sex union, that should be, it's an earth-shattering development, because that,
Yeah.
if the church goes along with that, if the Roman Catholic Church goes along with that, I already think that the Roman Catholic Church gets the gospel wrong, but of course, but I would probably be Roman Catholic. But this is the full scale apostasy at that point. Like they're not a church anymore if they do that. So, I mean, at this point, not quite sure what kind of authority the Pope's answer has. And we don't know what's going to happen after the Synod on Synodality or whatever it is. But if this signals the way that the Roman Catholic Church is going to go, it's not a church anymore. And that's huge. I mean, that has influence on every church. It has influence on evangelicals, has influence on Anglicans, has influences on even Lutherans, because the Roman Catholic Church is the it has had been anyway the flagship of the West till the Reformation. And now it's sunk, it seems like, if it keeps going down this road. It's really amazing news that happened or
It's
could happen.
I our children, like, I don't want to be alarmist, but they were adding up all the things that have gone down in short order, and they were like, is this the end?
Yeah,
Are
I
we
mean,
gonna
I am not a dispensationalist. I'm not a pre-trib, pre-mill person. But
I know, but I was like,
yeah,
are the dispensationalists correct?
look
I
at the
don't know.
things they have. Look at the things in order. Like, okay, for the first time, you have the technology necessary to make it possible to have people implant chips in their foreheads or in their hands in order to buy and sell stuff, right? So you can't make it. You can't buy and sell if you're in the system and use these chips. And the same technology allows them to cut off funds for those who aren't behaving well, right? So if you don't bow to the beast, whatever that beast might be, you could find your social credit score docked significantly, so you can't buy stuff. That's right there in Revelation, or at least according to dispensational reading of Revelation, that's right there. Then you have what seems to be a great apostasy, if not the great apostasy. This sexuality heresy is ripping through evangelicalism now, just like it did through the mainlines, and it seems like it might even hit Rome and Orthodox. That happened. You have all the branches of Christendom infected by the same lie. That's a great apostasy, right? That's what we're
I
told is
mean,
going to happen.
it seems both a huge apostasy and great at the same time. So
And then the stuff in Israel, right? With the With I mean, I think Hamas, one of the reasons they were saying they and Hamas are brutal savages and they should all be arrested and punished. They should be defeated in the battle, and the ones that remain should be arrested and put on trial and hung as war criminals. But as far as the prophecy thing, I mean, if how Lindsay were alive right now, he would be there'd be another
He'd
book
be so
published.
happy. I know, like yesterday. He'd be so happy. I mean, I seriously hope that I don't really want the dispensationalists to be right. So I'm like, because I hate being wrong about anything, but well, the great apostasy part is the part that I find most discouraging. Like, I'm not expecting there not to be wars and rumor of wars. Of course, that's how all of this goes down, but
Right.
it's the
Confluence of events.
and the like watching everybody fall to the same lie when
Right.
it's not that awesome of a lie. Like, it's not
Yeah, I mean
that
it's not a
great.
great thing. I mean it's hard for me to see why people are so confused by it because I mean it's so clear. The Bible is not at all unclear about sexuality. It's like one of the glaring, plain things in there. But then you think, oh, well, my kid's gay, so the Bible must not be true. I mean, it's just what? How does that mean? It's so odd. I mean, I know parents who, if their child was, committing adultery on in his marriage, would not support that, right? But then, what if this? I think it's the same parents, the same child came out as gay. They'd be, oh, I've got to rethink my whole thought about the Bible and sexuality. It's just so irrational, and I don't understand it. So, yeah, it's only the way to explain it, maybe, that this is a great beginning of the great apostasy. Who knows? But if it is, though, we should, what do you call it? Not the covenant theology that you were just talking about. The people with
It's
this
the what?
theology.
The
Yeah, if the dispensationalists are right, then we should be, raptured sometime soon because
So yeah,
That's that's we before the tribulation happens, we got to get out of here. So,
yeah, well, that's good. No, in that case, I'm all for it. I'm on the side of the dispensation. If that's what I always said to myself, if I have to believe in the rapture in order to be raptured, then I do believe in the rapture. So, but
right.
if you
What was
can,
it?
if you don't
And
have to
also, was it
believe in it, then
Hamas?
it's wasn't
Right.
Hamas
Well, we were
what?
talking about that a long time ago. We mentioned that Jewish group that wants to rebuild the temple, right? They want to take over the Temple Mount and rebuild the temple. And
Yeah.
apparently, before like 2 or 3 days before Hamas brutally and cruelly and murderously attacked civilians, this group made an incursion into the Temple Mount or something. And so
Right,
Hamas
they
is kind of
yeah.
blamed, is using that as the reason for their invasion. One of the reasons, anyway.
Although
Which
they
it's a
were
smokescreen.
planning it
They
before.
planned the invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
much.
You're cutting out. You're cutting in and out. We may have
Oh, I said
lost
the
him.
talk of rebuilding a temple is right there with Andy.
Oh, yeah. One thing we didn't bank on in our decision to Zoom was you driving in and out of like no cell regions of New York State. So,
I
are
shouldn't
you
be doing
back?
that because I'm going along a major highway. I think I can hear you loud and clear.
Well, when I can't hear you, I guess I'll just keep talking so the recording isn't very bad.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Well, good. I can hear you now. What were you saying about the Temple Mount? Or the about
Was saying, you know, this, I was saying that's part of the equation that how Lindsay had. You got to rebuild the temple. Hello?
And when they do that, yeah, then when they do that, then our Lord is allowed to return. Is that how it works?
Yeah, because they say that in 2 Timothy or 2 Thessalonians 2, the man of lawlessness takes his seat in the holy temple, right? And Christians forever have been seeing the holy temple as a church, but the dispensationalists see it as the actual temple.
I
So
see.
it
They
has to be
need the
rebuilt.
temple to be revert. I know I should know this, but whenever we were doing this in my youth, in my school, I always zoned out and like read my prayer book or something. Didn't really want to know what the timeline
But then
said.
there's also, right, there's also this one of the speakers at our retreat this last week said that every unreached people group is now on track to be reached by this year or something with the gospel, right? And Jesus said the end will not come until the gospel has reached every nation on earth, right? So that's another ahead of scientists. That's where it is. So if you're dispensationalist, this is your golden era. This is your
Your Christmas time.
this is your Christmas time. I'm not still, I'm not persuaded by any of this, but I'm just laying out the case for them. So it's interesting.
Eschatology is that things just get worse and worse and worse until we all die, and then that's it. Then Jesus comes back. That's as far as I've ever
Well, it
gotten.
sounds like that probably makes you an amillennialist. Because you're not a postmillennialist. If you're a postmillennialist, you think things get better and better and better.
Right. No, I think that's, I haven't seen any evidence of that with my own eyes.
Yeah, well, the postmillennials would say, oh, yeah, well, what if we're about to reach every people group, then that's what's happening, right? But then I don't know how that fits in with the Great Apostasy, so
Yeah, I
who
don't know.
knows?
How do you fit those two things together? But, or maybe you don't have to. Maybe you can just, focus on what you like best about things right now. Either way, it's really fun for everyone.
Yeah, we should maybe talk about the Israel thing. Want to talk about the Israel thing?
Sure.
What are your thoughts on the Israel thing?
My main thought is that it's so upsetting and tragic, and that I think that people in the West, in America and Western Europe, who have not experienced war in their lifetime, don't know how utterly terrible it is when society devolves or is overcome, and that nobody should ever wish for the rev, like nobody should hope or plan or try to bring about the revolution. That's my thought. The
Yeah, I mean,
people who
the
are
leftists.
excited about violence, thinking that it will solve something on the left, are very, very naive and foolish. And I think they should, I don't know what should happen, but they don't know what it's like to live in a place overcome by chaos and war. So
Yeah,
that's my
so
thought.
right. So the Hamas on, I think it was Saturday, maybe it was, yeah, I think it was Saturday, just threw 5,000 rockets into Israel. They overwhelmed the dome, the Iron Dome that protects everybody. And then they had infiltrated terrorists into Israeli cities and villages. And these terrorists just went door to door, knocking, not knocking, you know, there was breaking into houses, murdering families, raping women. And they post this stuff on something to
On
celebrate
Twitter,
it. They think,
they
and
post.
then the
Did they
fact
post
is,
it on Twitter?
yeah, two, yeah, there too. And then with the thought, and then the thought is, oh, well, this is our glorious victory, and of course, within the culture of radical Islam, that's what you're supposed to do. So they were getting all of the likes from it, which tells us, you know, there's a real cultural problem within some, I would say all, but some are worse, some realms of is within Islam are worse than others. It's a real problem that devalues human life to such an extent that murdering and raping civilians is not like something that would get these people put on trial by their own armed forces, but something to be celebrated by the people and by the armed forces themselves. It's crazy. And then, you know, the American left hears about it. They see the pictures, right? And there's people on Twitter, American leftists, this is what revolution looks like. This is this you guys, what do you think revolution is? Writing articles, you know, pontificating. No, this is what revolution looks like. This is what decolonization looks like. Well, we know that, right? That's
Yeah,
the
we
whole
all
point.
knew that that's what it looked like.
Right. We've known
We
that since the French
understood that.
Revolution.
Yeah.
Right. But Mao taught us that, Lenin taught us that, Stalin taught us that, all the brutal Marxists, revolutionaries who call themselves decolonialists have taught us exactly what revolution looks like. And it looks like murdering and raping and bloody reprisals. And so that's why it's from hell, right? This is what happens when hell visits a village or visits a country. That's what we're seeing right now in Israel. So, you know, a lot of people are saying, I totally agree. This is why God gave governments the sword. In Romans 13, they have the power of the sword, and this is why they should. Pacifism has no place in the Christian faith. I think there needs to be quick, swift end put to Hamas by the Israeli military, and I pray that it happens fast. I pray that, you know, I hope that civilians within Palestine aren't, or the Gaza Strip aren't armed. Unduly, of course, there's probably going to be some people who are, but the difference is Israel won't be targeting them. If civilians who die in any counterattack that Israel puts forward are going to die unintentionally, as opposed to Hamas, which is fully intentional.
Yeah. Mean, they get them all out, as it were. It was interesting to listen to the live stream on Twitter, and the disagreement over what different words mean in Hebrew. And I was amazed that the person we were listening to was able to keep everybody still talking to each other. It's like because everybody talks about how they want that dialogue, and but you know it's interesting to see it actually happen, where Palestinians and Jewish people could both
Right,
talk
there's a
about the
great,
facts on the ground. It was really
yeah,
interesting.
there's a great, a great, I'm not sure they're called on Twitter. Is it Twitter Spaces? Is that what it's called?
I think so.
By Mario, I can't remember his last
Nuff,
name.
Nuffall or Nuff, Nuff. I'm not sure what his name is.
Yeah,
That's how
but
you
he
pronounce
does
it.
it. So I can't listen to any mainstream news network without getting angry because it's so biased in every way, and usually toward the left, in favor of the left. So I'm fully expecting for, you know, the next day, but lots of people have been saying this, the media narrative is going to change, and it's going to go from, oh, look at these poor Israelis who were slaughtered, to aren't the Israelis bad for defending themselves? That's what's going to happen. So, but, you know, so I just not listening to mainstream news. This guy, though, he's doing what news used to be about, which is he's getting sources, he's allowing people to talk, he's not letting anyone be partisan. He's the whole point of the room is to, I guess, the space is to allow people to read news items that have been verified. So
Yeah.
if you're listening to this, you're listening to this thread, and you can keep up with what's going on. But he lets them do it. He doesn't let them do it in a way that will. He doesn't let them throw around words that will be inflammatory or make an argument for one side against the other. So it's really refreshing to listen to. You can kind of get the idea of what's actually happening.
On the ground, yeah. And they are allowed to speculate a little bit, but as soon as they get political, he mutes them or shuts them down. It's really amazing.
He'll be, yeah,
So
because this morning I seen a Palestinian woman who's gone, and she was starting to go nuts about the Jews. And the minute she did, he just muted her. It was like 5 minutes of muting. I thought the thing was over, but he just muted her.
oh, he's muted her.
So,
Wow.
yeah. So, yeah, it was great.
Well, I do think praying for Christians on both places and innocent people in both locations is a good idea. It's horrific. And it is also very discouraging to see how many places around the world people are taking up the fight on both sides of it. You know, like rioting in New York City and clashes in Seattle between two sides. It's really also, I mean, I read something on Substack. I'm going to try to link it. It's like the end of the Pax Americana and how bad it is for everyone
Yeah, I mean,
in the world.
everyone hates to have America as the predominant superpower, which we are hanging on to by a thread right now. But as long as we were, and we were more aggressive with that power, there was a kind of peace that was able to be enforced. And that's going away, and it's not going to be a pretty world.
No. Ah, well, that
So
was really exciting, and I'm glad I'm not in the business of breaking news much, but just commentary.
right. We're like the two judges in the Muppets.
Yeah.
We can just
I
sit
feel
up
like
in
that's
there.
what people were trying to say about us at the retreat. Like, I don't think I look like either of those guys, but I did. We were sitting in the back, so people kept stopping to say, "You're those people who just snark in the background, and you shouldn't do that." It's my
weren't though. We were being
special
very cheerful.
spiritual gifting. Yeah, no, I was being very cheerful. But I do think my spiritual gift is the side eye on occasion.
Well, I'm nearing my destination.
Well, this has been great then. We are going to pick up on the Preventing Grace side on Matt's return journey. So please follow us over there. I mean, sorry, Demotivations with Anne. This was Preventing Grace. We'll be over on Demotivations with Anne. And both of these will go up later this afternoon. And so thank you so much for listening, and we will probably be back next week.